Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you'll just be with Brother Leroy today. I pray that you'll give him perfect recall and perfect thought. And Lord, I pray that you'll fill his mouth with every thought that you have for him this morning, Lord, so that he can speak it directly and clearly to us. And Father, we know that this is him standing before us, but it's you speaking to us. And we're just going to ask you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, to be with us and just pour out your spirit on this place. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hello again. Well, I thank the Lord for an opportunity to come and speak to you out of the Word of God today. And you know me, I try to stay close to the Word because I get to rambling and I'll be in trouble in 5 minutes. So we're going to look at a subject that you just mentioned earlier, and it's going to be the subject of prayer. Before I want to get started, I want to just mention a special brother that we have, and Brother Lindo, and just to say how much we appreciate Brother Lindo. And Brother Lindo being among us, and he's fighting the good fight of faith, and he's fighting and continuing on to walk with the Lord. Brother Lindo gives he gives us a quote on a regular basis, and I ask Sister Joe, would you please go and get that and write it down? So this morning I want to read to you Brother Lindo's quote. There's always someone worse off than you are, regardless of how you feel, because God never puts more on us than we can stand. Everyone will have trials and tribulations. The valleys we go through keeps us close to God. Each of us have a cross to bear. Through prayer, you can overcome all obstacles. He doesn't answer all prayers, but even when he doesn't answer our prayers, he is answering them because he gives us what we need. Thank the Lord, my brother, for those words of wisdom. And when he would say those things, I'd stop and think, like, man, there's something there. And thank God for a man that's been around enough, and this is out of his whole life. This is his quote from life. This is his life's quote, because he says it all the time, and sometimes in certain parts, he might just say certain parts, and sometimes he may say the whole thing. So what is prayer? We always talk about prayer. And so now we want to talk some this morning about prayer, and pray with me as the Lord sent me up here, and he said, just trust me. Just trust me. Prayer is an act of worship. Prayer is an act of trusting. Prayer is spoken, but prayer is also thought. Prayer can be felt. It is expressing a desire of the heart to one that you trust. Prayer is communion and communication. It's not just one way. It's two ways. You talk to God, God talks to you. But actually, God is the one typically initiating the discussion, even though you might say that, well, I said something first. But trust me, we cannot discern our need for God unless he shows us that we need him at a certain time. So even though we think many times that we initiate, actually, we don't. It's God. If you think that you chose Jesus, he chose you. He pointed you out. He got your attention. Because I know me, I was not looking for him. I was looking for what I wanted, how I wanted it. And he could kind of participate along as long as it was the way that I wanted it. But I was not looking for Jesus in the way that he came looking for me. And it was not until he got my attention and showed me just how badly I needed him that I turn and say, is that right, Lord? Then what do I do? How do I go about this? And then he directed me through a janitor. And I've told the story about me, how I got my Bible and started reading it and ran into a word that I didn't understand. And it was a janitor that explained to me that word. It got me past that word, but it also got me into the presence of Almighty God and made such a difference. And so we cannot afford to judge and look down on anyone, regardless of profession. The profession is not the man, just like the clothes don't make the man. We were just talking this morning. It's what's under the package. It's what's in the package that matters. And so prayer is, it is important to us. This is our link to heaven. If I asked, if I wanted to know what something said on that table over there, if this would be a form of communication, I would say, Brother Robbie, would you please look on that clipboard and tell me what is on the first line of that clipboard? Brother Robbie would move and pick up that clipboard and read it, and he'll tell me what it is. He gives me feedback. When we talk to the Lord, it's a two-way thing. It's not just saying, I want this, I want that, I want this, I want that, give me this, give me that, and I thank you for it in Jesus' name. And we don't wait for him to say, if you want this and that, then I want this, I want that, I want this, I want that, I want it this way, I want you to do this, I want you to stop this, I want you to fix this, I want you to change that, I want you to go say this, I want you to go give that, I want you to go. We don't stop to say, Lord, what is it that you require? What is it that you want of me? You know, the Lord dealt with me some weeks back, maybe months back, and he was talking to me about prayer. And about how in the body of Christ we will push past the will of God and say we want what we want, when we want it, how we want it, as quickly as we want it. And we'll push past what God says and say, well, God says to love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of God, but it is of the world. But I want a new car. I want a giant house. I want to be rich. And we'll see. And you look at television, you don't have to go far. You can look at television and we want this, and God wants you rich, and God's going to make you this, and God is going to make you the head and not the tail, and God is going to, all of these things that we hear is you lifting up you. I can't afford to be lifted up. I'm a prideful man. I can't afford to be lifted up. Not in that way. 1 Corinthians 10:19, this is not the scripture for the day, but I'll just say this. It says, what say I then, that the idol is anything, or that which is offered in sacrifice to idols is anything? But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. That's in the scriptures. And so if you, and I hope you get a hold of this, if you are requiring or requesting or wanting something, and an idol, by the way, is anything that you put before God, anything that takes precedence over God in your life or God's will in your life, if you're wanting something that's beyond what God wants for you, and you push past it, and you get it anyway, please don't put that on God. Don't say God gave it to you if God doesn't want you to have it. Something gave it to you. Somebody gave it to you. Or you got it from your own abilities or your own smartness or your own, however we do, because men are pretty quick, pretty sharp. But don't put it on God if it's not his will for you to have it. You wanted it, you got it. That's the bottom line. Don't say, God blessed me with this. God gave this to me. If the Bible clearly says that's not the will of God for you, if you're not very careful, you will find yourself in fellowship with the evil side. You'll find yourself in fellowship with evil. It could be the evil of the devil, or it could be the evil of the flesh. For Paul said, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. So if the flesh goes after it, if the flesh life in you got to have it, there's no good thing working in that request. So this is just a warning. You could do whatever you want because you're grown. People are going to do what they want to do anyway. But at least this is a nice warning from the Lord. Now let's turn over to Colossians 3, because God does want to bless us. He wants to bless us so much. He wants to bless us with all of the spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And we're going to go through this because this is going to have to do with some things that God is going to require of us. It would be easier just to say, just ask and it'll come, and just get down and pray and he'll give it to you. But there are some things that the Bible tells us to, that we should be aware of. First of all, Colossians 3:1 says, if ye then be risen with Christ, that means if or since you have been risen with Christ. Have you been risen with Christ? Okay, it's a good time to say yes or no. If you then be risen with Christ, the Bible says to seek those things which are above. Seek upward, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Seek heavenly things. Desire heavenly things. Desire heavenly thoughts. Desire things that are heavenward, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. It points directly to heaven, that you should be heavenly minded. That's what he wants. If you are risen with Christ, then you should be heavenly minded. Then it says that you should set your affections. That means to set your mind. That means to set your thoughts. Set your thoughts, your affections on things above and not on things of the earth. Now, granted, we need money. We all need money. It's not evil to have money. It's evil to love it. And so when you set your affections on it, you got trouble. We all need a place to stay. And let's be smart about this. We all need clothing. You got to have clothing. You need transportation. You need food. You need water. These types of things, you need them. But the Bible says, don't set your mind on them. Jesus said, if you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, that all of these things will be added to you. Sounds like a promise to me. How about you? It sounds like a plan. So to trust him is to seek him and the kingdom of God first, even though the rent is due, and I know the rent needs to be paid, but seek him first and trust him even in that area as well. It's going to work out. But then the Bible goes on here and it says that you are dead. You are dead. And your life is hid with Christ in God. And you say, dead? You calling me dead? I'm moving around. I'm living. I'm breathing. It means you are dead to sin. You're dead to sin. That means that sin has no more authority over you. And it means that your life, your particular life that you have now, is hidden. It is hidden with Christ in God. You're dead. You're dead to sin. My mother, I'll tell you this, just as an example. My first meeting in Jacksonville, my first preaching meeting, preacher, where it was in a three-story wooden building. Was it three stories? I've never been a three-story wooden building. On the top floor, and when you move, the floor would do like that. It would go like that. And I got up there and called myself trying to preach my first sermon on the gospel of reconciliation, and they looked at me like I had grown three heads. I said, well, you know, that's not, is that how they're supposed to go? They're supposed to look at me like I'm crazy? And I said, well, what to do, Lord? He said, pray for them. Okay, so I started praying for the people. All right, okay, folks, it's time now for me to minister to you. And I began to pray for the people, and all kinds of situations would come up. And I say, what is it that you want prayer for? And they tell me, and I pray for them. And they go, and what is it that you want prayer for? And they tell me, and I pray. And a lady came, and she put her hands out like that. And her hands were shiny smooth. There were no fingerprints, anything like that. It was just shiny. And I looked at her hands, and I kind of did like this. When I looked at him, and what do you want prayer for? And she said, I don't know what's wrong with my hands. So I got some oil or something, you know, you're going to pray for them. And I went on and I prayed for her hands, and said, oh, Lord, heal her hands, touch her hands. And whatever prayer you pray is your, in your first time out. My mother came up, and she said, I've been having these headaches. And I said, you see, You like to smoke. She said, what? I said, never mind, let's pray. So I prayed for her. And I said, Lord, I ask that you break this habit off of her life. I ask, Lord, you touch her, because this is what's causing these headaches. I ask, Lord, in Jesus' name, that it comes out of her now in Jesus' mighty name. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. The next week, when we made it home, and Joyce was there, I talked to my mom. She said, I want to ask you a question. Kind of had a little attitude, you know. I said, yeah, Mom, what is it? She said, what did you pray when you prayed for me? I said, well, why, Mom? Why do you want to know that? She said, I just want to know what you prayed. I said, well, I prayed that God would break that habit off of you, that smoking habit, and that he would move it. Why? She said, because I don't want to smoke anymore. I said, Mom, that means you're free. There's more to the story. I said, that means you're free. She said, but I don't get it. I don't understand it. I don't know why I don't have this desire. I say, Mama, doesn't matter. You're free. You don't have to smoke anymore. Praise God, you're free. Mama, you're free. Amen. Get off the phone. About a month later, she was smoking again. You know why? Let me tell you some other story. It's not that God is weak. It's not that God didn't touch her. But she had that force of habit. See, God can break. He can break the strength of a situation off of your life, but then you got to walk in it.
That's right.
And this is what she did. She get on the telephone, and from force of habit, she used to have a cigarette. What she do is she light one and let it burn. And she look at it and she hit it, knock the ashes off. And she did that a couple of days. And then as it went on, she light one, then take one draw off of it, let the rest of it burn. And then went on, she light another one, and you take two draws off of it and let the rest burn. And next thing you know, she was back full-fledged, going at it again. I said, well, I did what I could do. You see, you do what you can do, and it's up to the individual. You're grown. You can do what you want to do. But if you want deliverance, deliverance is there for you. I'm talking to you about a place and a level in God today that we need to get to. But now, it's one thing to get prayer for something. But when you walk away, you're going to have to deal with whatever the situation, because I promise you, it will come back around again. It will challenge you. And say, you really think that just because Bob said them words over you, that you free from me? You got to say, I'm free in the name of Jesus. And so I dare you to eat something, because you know what happens when you eat. You got to have one. And you say, not only am I going to eat something, I'm going to eat a big meal in the name of Jesus. And pray over it, and you just stand. Just stand. The Bible says, after you've done all that you can to stand, therefore. We're talking about prayer. We're talking about powerful prayer. And I got a few minutes, but I'm going to tell you, I hope that I can get to some place here today so that we will make the next step in our walk with the Lord. Powerful step. I've learned so much from the Lord. Verse 4 here in Colossians 3 says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. When Christ, now it says that Christ is our life. When he who is our life shall appear, then shall you appear with him in glory. What is glory? Glory is dignity. Glory means honor. You will appear with him in dignity and honor. You will appear with him in glory, in dignity and honor. The life that we have began when we were begotten by him. Our Christian life started when Jesus Christ came into our lives. That's when our life started. The resurrection from the dead, the Bible says, is sown in dishonor, but it's raised in glory. It's raised in dignity and honor. When we're raised in dignity and honor. The Bible says in Philippians 3 that when he comes, that he's going to change our vile bodies, that they will be fashioned like his. Dignity and honor. When we say glory, 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 we speak of the dignity and honor that's due to our Lord. Verse 5 says, therefore, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. That means your members that walk on this earth. That's your physical body. This first part talks to your physical body, to your physical experience. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Fornication, do that with your body. Uncleanness or impurity. Inordinate affection. Inordinance is like a rule that's passed by a municipality. An ordinance say this is what you do, this is what you don't do. So an inordinate affection is an illegal affection, an unacceptable affection, inordinate affection. Evil concupiscence, that's going for that which is forbidden. Concupiscence, going for that which is actually forbidden. People do that with different kinds of things, which I won't get graphic with it, but it's going for desiring that which is forbidden. Evil concupiscence. Covetousness, that is wanting the things that belong to others. It says to mortify these things. Mortify means to kill, to destroy. And it says to destroy covetousness, which is, by the way, idolatry. To destroy that in your body. It says, for which thing's sake the wrath or the indignation or the vengeance of God comes on the children of disobedience. That means the children of obstinance, the children of rebellion. The things that I just read causes the wrath of God to come on those who are obstinate and rebellious, those who are disobedient. Now, we're still talking about prayer now. We're still talking about prayer. But it says, first, you need to deal with these things. Don't practice these things that was just read in this list. And it says, and 7 is good, in which ye also walked. Thank God, walked is past tense. Amen. Ye walked sometime when ye lived in them. And so hopefully we're either out of these things or we're working our way out of these things. Because I promise you, if you want to hear from God and you want to see God move mightily through you, these things need to be dealt with. But now, ye also put off these things. Now, we're going to get into the soul, the mind part of the emotional part now. We dealt with the body part. Now we're going to get into the emotional, the mind part. Put off these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not. Don't lie one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. So lying one to another is a deed that comes off the old man who's supposed to already be put off. He should have no place in our lives today. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, and we are the elect of God, 1, holy and beloved bowels of mercies. Holy means blameless. If you're not blameless, get blameless. If you got something going on, get with it. Talk with him about it so that we can be blameless. And beloved bowels of mercies and kindness and humbleness of mind, meekness, long suffering. It says that we should forbear one another. We should be there for each other, even when it doesn't seem easy to do it, or even if you don't feel that you can, that we should be there for one another. Do you know that when a person is grieving, that sometimes the worst thing you can do is talk? Sometimes the best thing you can do is just sit there and cry with them. Sit there and hold their hands. Just sit there and say, can I get you some water? I know you don't feel like eating, but you need to. You need to eat. It's been 2 days you haven't eaten. Please, please eat. Best thing you can do. And they'll love you so much for it, see? So much. And you know, we think sometimes, I know what to say, that sometimes we open our mouth and just mess it up worse. I've had things said at funerals that just make me so, I'm grieving and make me so mad I want to hurt somebody. How do you look in a casket and say they look so good sitting there? I've never seen a good looking corpse. Never. I don't care how they color it and powder it and poof the hair and put on a gown or wedding gown or whatever they put on, it's still, death is ugly. And I've heard people say things, and I understand they're trying. Joyce has had to calm me down a lot of times. She say, "Rest, wait a minute, just take it easy now. Just no, now. She don't mean no harm. Thank God for my wife." Because I've had her aunt say stuff, and I say, "I need to go over there." He say, "Rest, just See, and that was my mom. You know, she looked so good. I'm like, oh, man, I want to take her out back and fix her hair. You know? Well, I think it's true. Sometimes it's best to just don't say anything at all. Forbearing one another, and how about this? Forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. We got to do that. But she said, when you stand praying, forgive, that your Father in heaven will also forgive you. We've got to have that. We've got to have a forgiving spirit. And above all of these things, the Bible says, put on charity, put on love, walk and live in love, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body. And church, be thankful. Put on love and let the peace of God rule in your heart. You get upset about something, somebody bothers you or rub you the wrong way, start forgiving. Figure out how to forgive. Say, help me, Lord, forgive. Touch me, Lord. Oh, this is not good. Oh, God, touch me. You got to pray through this. You got to work through this. Because we do get hurt. Anybody here don't get hurt? Anybody don't get their feelings stepped on? Let it be known by the raising of your hands. I know that we get hurt. See? And so the bond of love, which is the bond of perfectness, is what it says to put on and be ready to forgive. Even if you haven't forgiven, be ready. Lord, I can't forgive. Please help me to forgive. God, touch me to forgive. And he'll do it. These are times when we really need prayer. And then be thankful. The Bible says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. And this is what we should do for one another. We should teach and admonish one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and to the Father by him. This will cover us and prepare us to be used by him. Colossians 3, 1 through 17, study it. Also, Romans 12. It will prepare us and show us just how to prepare ourselves. And listen, it's work. It's more hard work than you do, Bobby. Bobby works hard. It's harder than that. Because it's something that's got to be worked on the inside. On the inside. That's hard work because I got my rights. Don't talk to me like that. I'm going to let them know. God said, no, you're not. You're going to let me know, and I'm going to fix it for you. And then when he fixes it for you, it's a done deal. Amen? You know, there was a situation, and we'll talk about prayer and worship and all of this, where we have a situation in the Bible where even Lucifer himself, who was Satan by then, wanted something, and he said something to our Lord and Savior. The devil took Jesus up to an exceeding high mountain, and he showed him the kingdoms of the world, and he showed them the glory of the kingdoms of the world. And he made Jesus an offer. The devil made Jesus an offer. You imagine that? He said, all of these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down, go prostrate right now at my feet, prostrate right now and worship me as God. That's what he said. They're yours, but all you got to do is fall down at my feet, Jesus. Just fall down and worship me right now as God. He wanted Jesus to pray to him. He wanted Jesus to worship him. That is some of the situations that prayer and worship can get a person into. You think it's God, it might be the devil. You think it's God, it might be you, which is sometimes just as bad as the devil. Amen. I'm talking about me. I ain't talking about you now. I'm talking about me. Sometimes it's just as bad as the devil, some of this stuff. Just as bad as him. And so we'll think that it's God that we're worshiping, falling down before, and we're falling down to an idol. We're falling down to a God that's a devil. Or a God that's empowered by evil, that has evil behind it. And we're going after this and we want it and we're going to have it in the name of Jesus and we'll pray in the name of Jesus to get it. And then that thing will say, it's yours, go and get it. And then you're facing financial ruin down the road because number one, you can't afford the payments on that house. You can't afford the payment on that truck. It's a beautiful truck, by the way. But all that glitter has got you. And God has said, if you just wait another year, I'll to make sure you got just what you need. And we won't. Amen. The Bible goes on and it says here, and I'm kind of going to finish up here with a couple of scriptures which are very powerful for us. This book is full of them. But in 1 John 5, verse 13, it says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name, that be you. That you got to believe on the name because you're here. That believe, you know, if you don't believe on him, you wouldn't come here, I promise you that. So whatever your state in life is, whatever your spiritual condition is, one thing I know, you believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. He said, I'm telling you this so that you'll know something, that you'll know that you have eternal life, that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And it says that this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Did you say amen or something now? That was amen material there. If you ask anything according to his will, number one, he hears us. But it goes on, it gets gooder. Gooder and gooder. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we desired of him. And that's another amen.
Amen.
If we ask, listen, it's in how we ask, and it's in what we ask that we know we get it from him. So we need to ask according to his will. And if we ask him, if we start talking to God according to his will and what his desire is, he wants men saved. There are several things that he wants. He wants men saved. He wants people to be in this church to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. He wants us to love one another. He wants us to forgive one another. These are things that he wants for us. And there are lines and lines of those things in the scripture that we want. If we say, oh, Lord, I'm having a problem forgiving this one with such and such, we know that it's in accordance with his will that he wants us to forgive. And when we ask in accordance with his will, we know, number one, he hears us. And then we know, number two, that if he hears us, he knows. We know also that we're going to have what we ask. You know what that means? You're going to forgive. God is going to touch you, and he's going to change. So he has to change you. The problem is the change that has to take place. If you have unforgiveness, something's got to happen in you, not in the person. If you're in unforgiveness, you're not hurting me. I hope you forgive me, but you're not hurting me. You're hurting you. You're the one that needs to forgive. You're the one that needs to change in place. And a lot of times I find that when someone rubs me wrong, says something wrong to me, the first place I look, I got to look at me. I do. You know, because what am I doing getting rubbed wrong? What am I doing? What's wrong with me that I can even get rubbed wrong? Well, yeah, you can get hurt, but what am I doing there? Wait a minute, I think I'm supposed to love you. Okay, so Bobby says something dumb sometimes, which he doesn't. He doesn't. He's a very respectable man, but I can say that about him because he can say it himself. No, he ain't got me. No, that's not me, you know. But I can say that. And he says something dumb to me, and I go, man, what's wrong with Bobby? Well, all right, I got a problem already because already I'm kind of entertaining with Bobby. And the more I do that, between here and the car, there's a flame on top of my head by Bobby. Talk to me like that. You don't know who I am. And if the radio come on, you turn the radio off because you got to finish your discussion. You going home and say, I tell you what, next time he talk to me, I got something for him. I'm going to show him. Mess with me. And by the time you get home, you tell your wife, you won't believe what Bobby said to me today. What did he say? Man, that boy, let me tell you something about Bobby. He got one more time to say that to me. You call the pastor and say, Pastor, Bobby made me so mad today I could spit nails. And the pastor said, well, what happened, brother? Man, you know, Bobby said such and such to me, and he said such and such. And the pastor said, well, you know, you might want to forgive Bobby. I got to go. I don't know what's wrong with that pastor. He's telling me to forgive Bobby. Him and Bobby in league together, see? And all the time, it's me. And all I need to do is just forgive and come back. And the next thing I say to Bobby is, Bobby, I love you, man. Bobby, I love you, brother. And it's not that, you know, Bobby's not, he's just not a vindictive man. Not that I've known him for a couple of years. I've just never, you know, heard and seen him to be in that way, you know. So anyway, we got way over there from according to his will. Thank God for that. According to his will. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Listen, imperatives, ask. You want something? You ask. If you need to find something, seek. If something is out of your field of vision to see it spiritually, knock. That's what the Bible says. This is how we get our prayers answered. When we go out and walk, we're going to ask. We're going to seek. And we're going to knock. We're going to knock on doors, but we're going to knock on the spiritual door before we leave. We're going to ask God for what we want. When we go out, before we go out, we better talk to him before we go out, or we got trouble ahead of us. Ahead of us. It says, everyone that asks, receives. Everyone that asks, receives. He that knocks, finds. Him that seeks, finds. And him that knocks, it shall be opened unto him. Now, you know, Lord just kind of showed me this. As I said earlier, this is almost, to me now, as I look at it, a universal kind of a law that works here. You can ask, seek, and knock, and sometimes you can ask, seek, and knock for the wrong things and still couldn't receive them. And so that's why it's important to know the will of God. That's why it's important to know the right things to ask for. Because you know, and I've seen people that determine to get something, and they'll push and push and push until they get it. And it's not what they need. And it's not what God would have them to have. But they can push and push either with their ingenuity or with their being manipulative or with their business know-how or any number of things that they can get. So we go right back to knowing the will of God and then going according to that. You remember in Acts when Peter was arrested and I think they killed James and then they went and they took Peter and locked him up. And the Bible says that the church, and this is something powerful that comes, that the church was in prayer for Peter without ceasing. They prayed all day. They were praying all night for Peter and messed around, and an angel went and broke Peter out of jail. An angel, I said, amen, broke Peter out of jail. We haven't seen those kinds of answers, but now we're talking about the church age, the age in which we live. So we don't see miracles, we don't see things happen because we're devoid of that kind of prayer. You stay in church for 30 minutes and people get edgy and start looking at their watches and start sweating and, you know, moving around. But these people stayed all day, all night, as long as it took that Peter got broke out of jail. And then here's the funniest thing, Peter came knocking on the door and a young girl named Rhoda, I think it was Rhoda, Rhonda or Rhoda, came to the door. She said, who is it? He said, it's Peter. She ran. She didn't open the door. She didn't believe it. She ran back and told the crowd, hey, the man at the door says that he's Peter. And that they didn't even believe that it was him until they went and saw for themselves that God had delivered Peter from the jail. So it tells us that sometimes the answer to prayer is very surprising. It's okay now, but sometimes the answer to prayer can be very surprising. We pray for a lady in Jacksonville, both of us went over there and we sung our throats out. This lady was had an intestinal infection, just had surgery, and the thing got infected, and she was down there dying. And we went down there, and Mama sent us down there, me and George, with our little hymn book. We talked to her for a while, and we began to sing. We sung and flipped and sung and flipped and sung and flipped. I said, now I'm going to pray. And I pray for that lady in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you touch her. Oh, God, fix her, help her, whatever you need to do, Lord, that she'll get up from this thing. In Jesus' name, amen. And I looked, and she was sitting up and was standing up. I say, and this is what I said. Wait a minute, what you doing? I'm the one prayed. She the one had the faith, you know, to get up. I looked, and she was getting up. And I'm thinking, like, wait a minute, you sick, remember, you're hurting. What you doing? She said, I'm getting up and getting out of here. I'm going to the emergency. Got up, got dressed. I said, well, praise God, you know. And she went on. So prayer can be surprising. So once we get into this area, get ready to be surprised. Amen. Get ready to be shocked. Amen. God is now opening up an area for us, church. He's got just the right people in place that he wants in place to open up an area. He had only Peter, James, and John with him, and he left nine over there. So he's got you here, and so here we are. I know you say, but I'm struggling with this. I mean, don't worry about that. It'll be okay. He'll fix it. He's going to take care of it. He's going to address those things in your life that need to be addressed. Trust me. All you need to do is obey. You remember Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration when he took Peter, James, and John with him? The Bible says that they went up there to pray. That's why they went. They went to pray. But as they prayed, Jesus was transfigured before them. That means his face shone like the sun and his clothing shone like the light. And they saw him talking to Moses and Elijah. That's what came out of that kind of a prayer on the Mount of Transfiguration that Jesus took Peter, James, and John to witness. And of course, Peter spoke and said, we need three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. The cloud came in and said, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. You only need to listen to him. You hear him. But what came out of that was that transfiguration vision that they saw because they went in to pray. When you pray, when we pray, begin to expect to see the Lord move. And the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, it says to pray without ceasing. I know y'all got a problem with that. Praying without ceasing. But say, wait a minute, you trying to tell me that everything I do is pray and pray without ceasing? Well, we need to think about this thing now. We need to deal with this. The Bible says to pray without ceasing. The only way that I know to pray without ceasing is that I pray about everything. I pray about everything. Now, listen now. I don't pray about how to put my pants on now. Okay? We need to think about this now. I don't pray about should I eat lunch. I might pray over my lunch, but I don't need to pray about eating my lunch. We need to think about this. We need to, we need to be cognizant. We need to, be level-headed with this thing. I don't need to pray about it. If I need to say, brother, God bless you. How you doing? Lord, should I go shake Bobby's hand? That's just crazy. That's crazy. But you pray about everything. Lord, this is a wonderful day. How should we go about this day, Lord? He even told me, believe it or not, well, I'm going to go in the city. He told me which shoes to wear today. I was getting ready. I said, huh? I really spoke out this morning. I said, huh? Like that. I said, okay. All right. For whatever reason, to me, any shoes is okay. But he said, no, that goes with what you're wearing. It's pretty much. I said, okay, so he helped me get dressed. And you pray about, let him tell you what things that you should always pray about. But if he says pray without ceasing, he means pray without ceasing. I'm preparing this message and I'm saying, I want to pray, right? I can't think of nothing to pray. If I just say Jesus, all I can say is Jesus about this message, Jesus. And after a while he says, trust me. And I'm thinking, but I didn't prepare for it like normal. He said, trust me. Trust me. I said, okay. All right. We'll trust you. All right. So hey, this is what we got this morning from that kind of an input. But, in order to pray about everything, you've got to be a person of prayer. You've got to be a person that's given to prayer. You've got to be a person ready to pray anytime. Listen, the prayer that starts in heaven ends in heaven. When Jesus prayed, he said, our Father, who art in heaven. He went straight to heaven first, then it came down. So the prayer starts in heaven. Let us therefore, the Bible says in Hebrews 4:16, come boldly into the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. How many want a better prayer life and a stronger prayer life? I know you do. It's for you to have. He wants you to pray. You are his instruments in the earth today. And if you do want this, I'm going to pray with you for a better, stronger prayer life in the Lord. Amen? But we're going to do something different. I want you to stand up if that's you and show that that's exactly what you want if that's you. I know, praise God, this is the seventh inning stretch. And if you're standing and you want prayer, then you do one more thing. You're going to come up front. We're going to pray with you for a better, a more precise, holy prayer life in God. Remember the things that we said this morning. Remember the requirements. Go ahead and grab hands. And we're going to trust the Lord this morning for a better, more powerful prayer life. We go ahead and stretch over there for Robbie. It's okay. We're good. Mary Jo looks awful uncomfortable there. Are you going to get burned, my sister? Father, we are here this morning, and we're here about prayer. Bob has prayed. I have prayed every service. But Lord, we are only men and can only do so much. But Father, you called us for this office. But Lord, you called the entire body for your work. Now, Lord, enlist us in your work. Now, Lord, touch us today in your work and speak to us, Lord, concerning areas in our lives that should be dealt with, that we might learn and practice prayer in greater dimensions than ever. Not that we'll say prayers anymore. Lord, we will pray prayers to you. Touch us now, Lord. If there be anything in us that is not conducive to this particular prayer, I pray, Lord, you'll address it today or tomorrow or next week or whenever you choose to address it. And help us, Lord, to love you and love one another as you commanded us. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Take me back. Take me back, dear Lord, to the place where I first received you. Take me back. Take me back, dear Lord, where I first believed.